This program is made possible by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening. Hello and welcome again to the Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word podcast. We thank you for joining us here today. With me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Chipman Rural Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. We thank you for being here with us today. We are continuing looking at happiness in general, being happy and how to remain happy, and what's important when you think about happiness. And one of the things I've been thinking about here lately, and we probably have discussed this some, at least a little bit, as we've gone through this, is, and we're going to get to our main point today, and this is why Matt and I were just talking about winging it, because I was thinking about this earlier, is people's conception of what happiness is. Finding the joys in life. And I think we talked about before, the little things like getting up and being able to have that hot cup of coffee, or getting up and thinking about the many ways in which we have blessed happiness. I think we have to realize that our conception, our idea of happiness and contentment, because many times people, when we think about happiness, we want to find contentment. It differs from person to person. What makes me happy and content probably won't make a lot of other people happy and content. If all the bills are paid and my family has food on the table, the house is not falling apart, and we have clothing and I'm able to get up in the morning after sleeping a night in a nice warm bed here in the middle of February, I'm pretty happy. There's other things maybe I'd like to do as well, some things for fun, entertainment. But in most things, it doesn't take a whole lot to make me happy. I'm pretty simple, I guess you could say, in that way. But when we think about being happy, I think we also have to realize that happiness also should center around spending time with God. I think sometimes when we think about our approach to the Bible in general, people look at it as a task to be completed. It's like something they check off for the day. And when I say spend time with the Word of God, I don't mean just sitting down and just reading the Bible. I mean, when I think about spending time with the Word of God, I'm thinking about listening to Bible lessons, listening to sermons, listening to podcasts like this one and other ones that don't have me on here, but those things that will help us grow. And sometimes we think about, I have a hard time finding time to do that sort of thing. And really, I think if we're honest, we have a lot more time than what we think. And I'll give you this example. This past weekend, I was working outside doing some things, and I like to put one earbud in and just one so I can hear if someone else calls me or something, whatever. And I'll listen to something. And sometimes I'll listen to music, or maybe I'll find a comedian, an old school comedian that used to be funny without using foul language. Those people used to exist. And I'll listen to them. But this last time I found a sermon from OEBS, and I listened to that while I was outside working. And so while I'm out there, building whatever it was I was building, or tearing apart what it was I was tearing apart, or, I'm able to listen to a Bible lesson. Sometimes people think downplay that. They think, well, really, how much are you listening to? And I think if we're honest, probably a lot more than what you think. I'd rather listen to a sermon and pick up on a few things than to listen to some music that's not going to teach me anything. Will I go back and listen to that sermon again later? Possibly, so I can pick up some things I might have missed, while I'm out hammering something or whatever it may be. But we're gonna find, as we look at our day, a lot opportunities than what we realize. We have these smartphones and these mobile devices that will that we can turn on as we're driving before we leave work, or as we get ready to leave work, we can turn those things on. We can hook them up to our radios if our vehicles are equipped for those types of things, and many of them are now, and you can listen to those while you're going down the road. And so instead of listening to the news, it's so depressing and frustrating, instead of listening to the weatherman who cannot predict the weather, or as we have here, as we're near Tulsa, we have a news station that says, the top three things you need to know every 5 minutes. What they do is every 15 minutes, they repeat the same three things every 15 minutes, literally. And I remember thinking one time I was driving somewhere, and I said out loud, how many times do I have to hear this same top three things you need to know on this trip? I get it. You know what? None of them affected me. I didn't need to know that. I don't need to hear about some crackhead getting arrested or someone out being arrested for some violent crime. That doesn't affect me. I already know the world is full of trouble, and I pray about it each and every day. I want to hear something else that's going to encourage me, and that's where things like podcasts and listening to sermons and things like that, in place of this other stuff, makes a difference.
Definitely.
If we're going to improve, we're going to improve your mental state, which has a big part in happiness. That means we have to change things. The very definition, and I've had looked it up, people say this all the time. They say that, definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I think for the most part, that's very true. We do the same thing every year, and we think, well, this year is going to be different. Our study habits are exactly the same, and we say, well, this year is going to be different. How is that possible? Can we grow more in the Word of God if we spend the same amount of time or the less time in it? And so we have to think about that. And I'm going to mention this verse here, and then I'll let Brother Matt add anything he'd like. But notice here, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. He says here, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You hear people ask all the time, sometimes, what is the meaning of life? And sometimes for some people, verse 13 is too simple, but it's clear and it's straight to the point. And he says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, which to me says, what does it all mean? What's the point? Because Solomon, who's credited with writing Ecclesiastes, basically could do whatever he wanted. He had so much wisdom and so much wealth that whatever he wanted, he didn't keep from himself. He tells us that early on in chapters 1 and chapters 2. And when he after he does all those things, what does he say here in verse 13? Fear God and keep his commandments. He says what? What's important? Oh, being obedient to God. He says, for this is man's all. And where do we learn how to do those things? Within the Word of God itself. Okay, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. And let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at the importance of spending time in the Word of God. Brother Matt?
Yeah, you think about spending time in the Word of God, it's an amazing thing. Like you said, like the small things, a cup of coffee, the different. I was talking with Rochelle the other day. Rochelle's my wife, by the way, and we were talking about the small things. We were talking about different things. She follows this lady on Instagram who her husband has cancer and this and that, and they're so worried about this cancer thing that she just wants to go back to worrying about the small things in life, or being happy about the small things. And that's the thing too, is being in God's word, it brings you joy. Yes, it can bring you not joy, I guess, in some regards, certain things you read, but it should bring you joy. Like when you wake up in the morning, you hear the birds out there, you have your cup of coffee if that's what you do, or it's kind of like as you go throughout your day, you miss the small things. And happiness is, I like Proverbs 3. I won't read 13 through 18, but just the very first part. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. I mean, how are we to gain understanding, and how are we to become happy through a godly way if we don't pick up the word? Spend time in the word, And like you have in our outline, if we are to be happy, we must keep God's commandments, right? I mean, we need to be happy in the small things, and happy and not get so entrapped in the world, but be thankful, man, that you're gonna miss the small things when they're not there. Like for us as a family, just sitting around playing cards, sitting around in the living room talking with our kids just about how their day was, their daily life, what goes on. Find joy and happiness in everything you do. So, and I think that's very important. So.
And the Bible tells us that, Christ tells us, that when we think about, let's put it this way, when we look at the world, overwhelmingly the world says that materials bring happiness. But Christ tells us something quite different. He tells us, to beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses, which tells us that don't worry about getting possessions. Don't worry about accumulating things. Now, we need certain possessions, obviously, but to the point he was making is do not allow those things to basically to define who you are. And so, you know, we think about this idea of happiness. We'll be a lot better off when we stop and think, okay, what really is it that makes me happy? And that was Luke 12:15, by the way, there I was referencing there. But what is it that makes us happy? And it should be, hopefully, our mindset is that studying God's word, that makes me happy. Because, you know, for some people, think about God's word. If we're honest, a lot of people don't want to look at it. Or at least I should say some people don't want to look at it because it affects them. It makes them think about things. We think about just Ecclesiastes 12:13 when he says was a conclusion talking about fear God and keep his commandments. To fear God and keep his commandments. Well, that's talking about doing what? Thinking about who God is, reminding yourself who he is, having that right respect and attitude about God, and then obeying him. Keep his commandments. Obedience. Well, that word obedience, that scares a lot of people. And it really, for a lot of people, that's an idea of, well, I'm not going to worry about so much about keeping every little thing that God tells me to do, because that means there's some things I'm going to give up. I mean, because when you tell people you need to change, and maybe not even with our words, we don't even say, hey, you should think about this. But you can read, because I've done this, you can read scriptures to people, and when you ask them what they think it means, they kind of, sometimes they'll hesitate because they look at it and they say, you know what, I know what it means, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
If you look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter says here, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So what Peter is telling us is that the Bible, as we have it today, is God's way of giving us everything we need, the scriptures. He has given to us all things, I notice, that pertain to life and godliness, not things that pertain to partying or things that pertain to how to, you know, win over everyone and have, you know, the biggest group of friends or whatever that is. He says it pertains to life and godliness. It tells us all we need to know about what really matters. And what really matters is the salvation of our own soul and then doing all we can to save others as well, which includes our family. Life and godliness, which godliness is the idea really of our behavior. Our behavior, trying to be as godlike as possible, being how God wants us to be. And when we make a mistake, as we're going to, because we're human beings, we repent of those things. He goes on to say here in verse 3, through the knowledge of him. Well, how do we gain knowledge about Christ? How do we gain knowledge about the word of God? How do we gain knowledge about things that pertain to life and godliness? By opening up God's word. And so we have to think about how we spend time in the word of God. And it's interesting that if we will take some of those opportunities where that we're overlooking, and we just start adding in the word of God here, here, and here. What we'll notice is over time, it adds up, and we start, you know, next thing you know, we're sitting in a Bible class, and maybe we're understanding what people are talking about that maybe in the past we wouldn't have picked it up on it. You know, maybe you're talking about, sitting in class, you're talking about the flood, and because you've been reading Genesis, you recognize what they're talking about, and you know what they're talking about because you've added in additional study time. More time, and what happens, you're learning more about it, and so when they're talking about it, you know what they're talking about. You're able to have a conversation. You're able to ask questions, even answer some questions. You know, the best way to be prepared for life each and every day and those who we come in contact with is knowledge of God's word, because knowledge of God's word prepares us with the ability to respond to those who we come in contact with. That doesn't mean that every single time someone says something, we're going to know the answer off the top of our head, but there's, you know, I always say there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm not sure about this, but I can find out and I'll come back and tell you what it is. And so I'm going to stop there for just a second. I'll let Matt add anything he'd like.
I think, like you were talking about knowledge, I mean, how do you gain knowledge in anything you do? You have to go read. You have to go search it out. I mean, if we're to know what God wants us to do, like we said earlier, is go search it out. You also like to think about, like, what – like I like to ask people or ask somebody, what's the purpose of your life? You know, how do you find the purpose of your life? Right. Going in Ecclesiastes, you could read Ecclesiastes 3, 13 through 14, it says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God, for one. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. God does it, that men should fear before him." Right? I mean, it's kind of like, what is your purpose in life? Are we to revere God? Are we to show him all reverence? Like you talk about, too, is you show people passages and they're like, no, you know, I don't want to know that. You know, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. Well, it's not about you. It's about, you know, how else are you going to be happy? How else are you going to be happy in this world? Is it a worldly happiness? Okay, because that's going to burn. All of this stuff we try and gain for happiness, it means nothing. Absolutely zero, zilch, nothing. I like to, my kids like fight over different things. And I told them the other day, I'm like, okay, this phone or this electronic device, it's going to burn here, right? I mean, it means nothing. So you guys are treating each other bad or, I mean, over this thing. And that's kind of like a worldly happiness. We like to hear now. We like to see it, right? We're like, oh, yeah, this is going to make me happy right now. Okay, then July comes and you don't even remember the thing, right? You know, my wife likes to say, like, when we worry about stuff, well, July will be here. July gets here and you're like, you don't even remember what you're talking about in February, right? You're like, I don't know. You know, let's find just the happiness in the small things. My happiness is when I'm in my truck and I'm on my way home to go see my wife and kids. That's happy. And when I get home, that's the happy place, right? It's not, hey, you know, we're going to go buy this and do this and spend all kinds of this and that. No, that's not the joys of life. You know, find happiness in the small things. And I know I just ramble, but.
No, you're exactly right. Because we think about for a second, people in the workplace, and I don't mean every single person in the workplace is like this, but some of them are working for the weekend because on the weekend there's things they're going to do that are going to bring them happiness, which for a lot of people, especially the younger crowd, now some even older still act this way as well. It's the party scene of some type, and then that's going to bring them happiness. I remember years ago, Bill Cosby, before whatever happened with him and all that mess, he talked about people who would work for him and how they would work to the weekend. And he said, and they would get there. And he said, then they would totally destroy themselves. And they come dragging in on Monday. He was making fun of them. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, to Matt's point, you know, some of the highlights of some of the best parts of our day don't have to be the things like, you know, this, let me put it this way. We put too much pressure on what it means to be happy. We build up in our mind, thanks to the world, that, you know, happiness is going out to the nicest restaurants, ordering the best food, and spending all this money, and that brings us happiness. Or going shopping and buying the very best of everything, that brings you happiness. And, you know, I've talked about this before, you know, buying a phone or a computer, and a week later, I'm like, just another device, whatever.
Simple.
Simple. You know, and one of the things I've been enjoying lately is, you know, we've been reading more, not just the Bible, obviously, but other books for leisure, for entertainment. And one of the things that's been nice, unless I get tired, too tired and fall asleep, is sitting down and Lisa will be reading her book and I'll be reading my book. And that to me is contentment and happiness. That brings me a lot of happiness. The calm, the relaxing, there's nothing that's just like up in the air, because I've said before, I hate drama. I don't want to be involved in drama. If I can all avoid it, I'm going to stay out of it. You know, if I say something that can create drama, I'm going to apologize for it, whatever, and back away from it. I don't want anything to do with that. And so happiness doesn't have to be something that takes a whole lot of effort. You know, it's like Matt says, the little things, and we miss the little things. We miss, you know, going out and going for a walk. I met one member who I spoke with last week. He talked about how, you know, he was still down from a recent doctor's visit. And he said, you know, the best part we have is going out and driving, because they had a home and they have a house where his mother used to live, in a house here in Ulaga. And so they would drive back and forth. And he said, you know, the best part is driving from here to there. And I said, you know, you can drive other places, brother. Just, you know, get in your car, get your nice cup of coffee, and just go for a drive. Go out into the country. You don't have to drive necessarily all the way here, but go and just, drive around. If you're, because they're worried about the virus and those types of things. And I say, get out and do something. Just because you don't want to go into certain stores or something, okay, but you can still drive around. You can still see the Lord's creation and be encouraged by that. Don't go home to a house that's got the windows closed. Open those things up. Let the sun shine in, not only literally, but figuratively as well. And this last verse here, and we'll stop here today, but I think about this, and this kind of gets us into our next point. This kind of be a teaser for our next point, and that is that the Bible is a great encourager. Psalm 119, verse 116 says, "Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." There is no shame in having hope because of God and because of his word. We used to be, we talk about kids, getting in trouble because they bring their Bibles to school, and I'm not trying to be a rebel or anything, but that was the case at our school. I tell Chloe, put that thing in your backpack, and they have a problem, they can call me. That's not trying to be, I'm not trying to incite trouble, but to me, other things are more important. I mean, let's be honest, most kids have devices anyway. They already have Bibles on them, but or some of them do anyway. But we shouldn't be ashamed of being wanting to learn more about God. We go to, our kids go to a school, and if they go to public school and they have lunchtime, of course, anymore, the lunchtimes, I don't know if you've, I sub from time to time, which is kind of comical, but you can imagine me in a classroom. But their lunches are very, very short, and so are the teachers. And so you get in there, you eat, and by the time you eat and, talk to someone for 5 minutes, your lunch is over. But it used to be when I was in school, lunch was a little bit longer, and you would actually would see people pull out books and start reading. And I remember people encourage us to bring your Bibles with you and pull that out and just, read for a few moments. If you go to the library and you have a book, check out a book, but bring your Bible with you. You don't have to read that one. You can read your Bible instead. And I say that to say this, and that is, as Psalm 119, 116 bears out, the Bible is in great encouragement, because he says here, "Uphold me according to your word that I may live." Literally, the idea there is that the word of God gives him life. And he says, "And do not let me be ashamed of my hope." The word of God should be an encourager, and we should not be ashamed of it. Okay, we're going to stop there today. Matt, do you have anything you want to add before we close this out?
Yeah, I just want to add Philippians 1, was it 20 and 21, just real quick. "According to my earnest expectation, I hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." And 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Don't be ashamed of the Bible at all. Don't be ashamed to open it. Don't be ashamed to spread the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Jesus Christ says, go preach it out to all mankind. Get it out there. It is a great encourager, too. I mean, it has all the dilemmas of life. You can come and you can find answers. It's a great encouraging book. I mean, I say book. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's God talking to you directly. So that's great stuff.
So. Well, thank you, Matt. And we thank you for listening today. We hope you've enjoyed this program. I hope you join us again next time as we continue looking at being happy and just happiness in general. We hope to see you again next time here on Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We thank you for listening.